नाथ हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
नवाचर शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की क्रम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रगणितानंद से अद्वैत गदधार शिवसाद सिघोर भक्तवृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की शरवत कृष्ण भक्तवृंद की लताई गौर प्रमानंदे हरि हरि
मंगलंग portion of Vishnu, the supreme personality of Godhead. Purport. The method adopted by the great sages and scholars who are learned in Vedic knowledge was perfect. They removed all the reactions of King Banner's sinful activities by seeing that King Banner first gave birth to Bahuka, described in the previous chapter. After King Banner's body was thus purified, a male and female came out of it, and the great sages could understand that this was an expansion of Lord Vishnu. This expansion, of course, was not Vishnu Tattva, but a specifically empowered expansion of Lord Vishnu known as Avesha. Text 3. Please repeat after me. ऋषय ऊचुः एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा सम्भूति पुरुषश्यामपायिनी एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा सम्भूतिः पुरुषश्यामपायिनी ऋषय ऊचुः एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा सम्भूतिः शुश्रामपायिनी एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः शुश्रामपायिनी एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः शुश्रामपायिनी। एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः शुश्रामपायिनी। एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः शुश्रामपायिनी। ऋष ऊचुः एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः पुरुषश्रमपायिनी। पपजिस् ऋषया ऊचुः एष विष्णुर्भगवत कालाभुवनपालिनी यं च लक्ष्मा संहृतिः पुरुषश्रमपायिनी। वाग्मी ऋष ऊचुः The sages said, Esha, this male, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kala, expansion, Bhuvanapalini, who maintain the world, Yam, this female, Cha, also, Lakshma of the Goddess of Fortune, Shambhuti, expansion, Purushasya of the Lord, Anupayini, inseparable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The great sages said, The male is a plenary expansion of the power of Lord Vishnu to maintain the entire universe, and the female is a plenary expansion of the goddess of fortune who is never separated from the Lord. Therefore, the significance of the goddess of fortunes never being separated from the Lord is clearly mentioned herein. People in the material world are very fond of the goddess of fortune, and they want her favor in the form of riches. They should know, however, that the goddess of fortune is inseparable from Lord Vishnu. Materialists should understand that the goddess of fortune should be worshipped along with Lord Vishnu and should not be regarded separately. Materialists seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune must worship Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi together to maintain material opulence. If a materialist follows the policy of Ravana, wanted to separate Sita from Lord Ramchandra, the process of separation will vanquish him. Those who are very rich and have taken favor of the goddess of fortune in this world must engage their money in the service of the Lord. In this way, they can continue in their opulent position without disturbances. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Sarupa Damodara Swaminiti Namine Namasad Bhakta Manaye Manipura Udbhavaya Cha Prabhupada Lasad Bhavi Pracharo Niratayati. So in the previous chapter, we have seen that how the sages, they charmed the body of Beno and Bahuko came out from Beno's body. And it is explained that Bahuka is actually he was the embodiment of sin. The sin came out from Beno's body. In those days the sages are so powerful that from the dead body they could create another personality. Of course the soul was there and they just invited the soul, and by their power, mystic power, they could give birth of another person from the body itself. It is like little unnatural way, just like nowadays we hear of cloning. The process of cloning, the scientist can create another child from someone's body. So if it is possible by cloning, and in those days the sages are very powerful, they are very expert in mantra, and also they are leading very pure life. So by the power of the force of their purity and mantra, with the help of their mystic power, they could do all these wonderful things. We cannot imagine this type of power in modern age, in Kali Yuga. We cannot even imagine. So that's why sometimes people think these are all stories. But this is not stories. We are living in a completely different atmosphere, different yuga, and the power of Brahmins and sages is completely diminished practically. So that's why it is very difficult for us to imagine how they did all these wonderful things. If you read all the Puranas, Mahabharatas, Ramayana, we will find out thousands of stories like this, thousands of stories. Not stories, histories. But for us it appears to be, for ordinary people, it appears to be story. So, by the passage of time, the atmosphere is completely changed. The power of the sages, so many things are completely changed. So much so that we cannot even imagine how it was possible. So the sages, when they removed the sinful personality from Beno's body, then after that they charmed again, and then a male and female personality came out from Beno's body. And they could understand that the couple was Vishnu and his eternal consort Lakshmi, goddess of fortune. So the similar incidences we see also when Krishna appeared. Before Krishna's appearance, six children are born from Devaki, and it is described in different Puranas that these six children are actually they are grandchildren of Lord Brahma. He had six grandchildren who offended Lord Brahma. They were lust, personality of lust, kama, krodha, personality of anger, kama, krodha, lobha, personality of greed, moha, personality of illusion, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, personality of pride and arrogance, matsarja, personality of envy and jealousy. So, they are also persons, and they are actually grandchildren of Brahma. And when Brahma apparently committed some mistake, six grandchildren are laughing at Brahma. And simply because of their laughing at a great personality, Brahma is undoubtedly a great personality. Even if he commits some apparent mistakes, still he should not be laughed at least by the juniors, he should not be laughed at. So, because these grandchildren, they laughed at Brahma, they fell down, and they took birth as son of Hiranyakashipu, and they were killed by Indra one after another. Six children were killed in their first birth, and then again they took birth as children of Devaki and Vasudeva, and they were killed one by Kamsa. So these six children, they were also embodiment of sins and crime. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mat, Matsarja. So when all these sins are completely eradicated, completely cleaned from the womb of Devaki, then Balaram entered and he prepared the seat for Lord Vishnu, and then Krishna, the next, after Balaram was transferred to Rohini's womb, then Krishna came. So, Krishna comes in a pure place. Of course, wherever Krishna stays, the place is pure. But at least in these past times, we see how before Krishna appeared, before his appearance, he removed all the crimes and sins from Devaki's womb. So here also we see how the sages, they remove the embodiment of sin. Bahuko, Nishada, who was embodiment of sin, he was removed from Bana's body, and then Vishnu appeared. So this is one part. Another part is that in the third text, Prabhupada explained that in this material world, people are very much fond of to have the blessings of goddess of fortune. From our childhood, I have seen, especially in Bengal, they worship Lakshmi. Just after Durga Puja, I think after 5 days from Durga Puja, in every Bengali house they worship Lakshmi. And this Lakshmi Puja is popular in throughout India. They are worshipping Lakshmi after Durga Puja. But the way they worship only Lakshmi. They don't worship Narayan, they don't worship Vishnu. They purchase a small deity of Lakshmi and they just worship Lakshmi. So, in this verse, Prabhupada explained that actually it is not good to worship only Lakshmi. We should worship Lakshmi and Narayan together. Because Lakshmi is inseparable from her husband. Even in ordinary life, if we invite the wife and don't invite the husband, or if you invite the husband and don't invite the wife, it doesn't look so decent. It is not perfect invitation. The decent invitation is we invite husband and wife together, if we invite at all. So it is in ordinary life also, and what to speak of inviting Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, without her husband. It is completely indecent. So if we really want to have the favor of Lakshmi, then we should invite her husband. We should worship Lakshmi and Vishnu together. And Prabhupada said, in this way, if someone worships Lakshmi and Vishnu together, then only we can have opulence. Even material opulence is possible. Material opulence will be lasting. Actually, opulence is there. Many people get opulences, but this opulence is not lasting. Ravana also secured opulences. but that opulence was not lusting. But the opulence of devotee is lusting. It is lusting in this life, and it will be lusting also next life, and of course if you can go to the spiritual world, he will get everlasting opulences. So without the mercy of Lord Vishnu, this lusting or everlasting opulences is not possible. So that's why whenever we want to worship Lakshmi, we must worship Lakshmi along with her husband, Vishnu. And worshipping Vishnu means pleasing Vishnu. We have to please Vishnu. That means devotional service. We have to be engaged in devotional service. So in this way we can please Vishnu and Lakshmi together, and then our all kind of opulences, both material and spiritual opulences, will be lasting one. Otherwise, due to our some pious activities, opulence will come and go. Opulence will be very temporary opulences. Yeah. Just like the opulence of Ravana. Prabhupada has also mentioned Ravana here. Ravana wanted to have Lakshmi, Sita, but insulting Ramchandra. He also insulted, in this way he also insulted Sita. So, that's why Ravana, although his kingdom was very great and very, his palace was made of gold, but still he lost everything. Everything was vanquished because he wanted to enjoy Lakshmi without the favor of Ramchandra. Because Ravana, when he kidnapped Lakshmi or Sita, he actually dressed himself like a sannyasi, with a kamandalu, with a danda and saffron cloth. So he dressed himself like a sannyasi. So from this incident we can also understand that dress is nothing. We can dress ourselves like Vaishnava, we can dress ourselves with all this, you know, like a saintly person, but if our motive is not pure, if we want to enjoy Lakshmi without Vishnu, without serving Vishnu, if we want to enjoy Lakshmi ourselves, so the dress will not help. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur mentioned that Matha Muraile Jamadanda Nayara. If we shave our head, Jamraj will not spare us, that he has shaved his head, okay, let me leave him, I'll not punish him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in a song, Eyote kolir chela, matha nera, kapni para, sahaj bhajan karchan mamu, sange loye parer bala. So he is actually an agent of Kali. He has shaved his head, he has put gopin and tilak, but he is engaged in sahaj bhajan, means he is actually misusing spiritual life. And my uncle is actually busy with other's wife. He is enjoying, he is trying to enjoy other's wife. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sarcastically addressed that man as uncle, mama, mamu. In Bengali, when we call mamu, it is like, you know, it is a sarcastic word, uncle, my dear uncle. So that means his life is very precarious. Those who are doing like this, dressing like a saintly person, dressing like a Vaishnava, apparently Vaishnava, but internally a Vaishnava. So that has to be discouraged. We must be alert of that. That Ravana was apparently a saintly person, but actually he was not a saintly person. Opposite also true, sometimes there is apparently a Vaishnava, internally Vaishnava. There are so many incidents, so many histories. We find the histories of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, who was apparently like a very worldly minded person. He was living in a Gurjiya's house, he was wearing Gurjiya's dresses, and he had many servants, they were fanning him, and in his room the arrangement was like a king. So much so that even Gadadhar Pandit misunderstood him. Gadadhar Pandit, although is in this pastime, he misunderstood him. That what kind of Vaishnava is he? But later on, Gadadhar Pandit realized that he is a pure devotee. So sometimes someone may be apparently not a devotee. When Sanatan Goswami first met with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was sitting outside the room in Benaras. He was sitting outside the room. And Mahaprabhu asked Chandrasekhar that please go outside and a Vaishnava is waiting there. Please call him. So Chandrasekhar went out and he could not find any devotee. He saw a Muslim with long beard. So he came inside and again he informed Mahaprabhu that there is no Vaishnava. Mahaprabhu told, no, there is no Vaishnava is there. A pure devotee is there. Is there anybody waiting there? Yes, a Muslim darvesh, a Muslim saint is there. Okay, call him. So when Chandrasekhar called him inside, Mahaprabhu embraced him. Embraced Sanatana Goswami. So apparently a Vaishnava, but internally a pure devotee. So dress is secondary. Internal thing, bhavagrahi janardana. Bhavagrahi janardana. Murkha vadati vishnaya, dhira vadati vishnave, ovayastu shamam pinnam, bhavagrahi janardana. When they worship Vishnu, sometimes those who are not scholar, they chant wrong mantras. They say, Om Vishnaya Namah. When someone is offering some fruits or something, they say, Om Vishnaya Namah. So the word Vishnaya is actually grammatically wrong. Correct word is Vishnave, Om Vishnave Namah. But those who are weak in Sanskrit, sometimes they chant, Om Vishnaya Namah. But Lord accepts such offering also if there is devotion. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Murkha Vadati Vishnaya, the foolish or the person who is not a scholar, he says Om Vishnaya Namo. Dhira Vadati Vishnave, and those who are scholar, really scholar, they say Om Vishnave Namo. Ubhayastu Shamam Punnam. But in both cases, the result is same. Samam Pinnam. Samam means same. Pinnam means piety. The piety, the good result is same. Ubhayastu, in both cases. Samam Pinnam. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Why? Because the Lord accepts the lap. So if somebody even chants wrong mantra with lap, Krishna accepts the offering. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna only sees the bhava. There are many instances where apparently looks like non-devotional activities, but Krishna accepted it as pure devotional service. There is a very nice example in Ramayana when Hanuman was sent by Ramchandra to find out Sita. So he entered into the palace of Lanka to find out where is Sita, where is Sita. He was searching from one room to another room in the midnight. Hanuman was searching Sita, trying to find out where is Sita kept by Ravana. Ravana was hiding Sita and Hanuman was trying to find out. So when he entered into the palace of Ravana, so he found many beautiful women. They were almost like naked, sleeping. And Hanuman was going from one room to another room, practically observing thousands of naked ladies. But Ramchandra considered it as pure devotional service. Why? Because of the motive. He was not excited, Hanuman was not excited by the sin. And his only motive was, where is my mother Sita? Where is my mother Sita? He was searching like a madman. Where is my mother Sita? So although apparently he saw so many naked ladies, but it was pure devotional service. Motive is so important in devotional life. Our inner thoughts, inner motive, inner bhava is actually everything, practically speaking, everything. Actually, feel our dress will become meaningful when our inner motive is perfect, inner motive is okay. Prabhupada even sometimes says, if you cannot maintain your inner motive, you better you use karmi dress. In many letters, Prabhupada says like this, better you use karmi dress if you cannot maintain your inner motive. The inner motive is so important. Devotional life means our inner, everything is inner. The main thing is our mind and heart. There is also incidences of Govinda, personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing whole day, and after dancing he got tired. It was the first time, Lord never becomes tired. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he in the evening he was sleeping at the threshold of a door, and the entrance was blocked, and his lotus feet was inside the room. He slept in such a way that his lotus feet was inside the room and his body was body blocked the door. So Govinda, the personal secretary, came to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, but he could not enter into the room because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sleeping on the door. So then Govinda asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, I want to massage your feet, so can I come in? Mahaprabhu said, yes, you can come, but I cannot move my body because I am very, very tired. I am extremely tired. I cannot move my body. So then Govinda requested, please try to move little bit so that I can enter into the room. Otherwise, how can I serve your feet? Mahaprabhu told, I don't know, but I cannot move. I am very, very tired. So then Govinda took a second to think. Then he crossed Mahaprabhu. He just jumped over Mahaprabhu's body. Apparently non-devotional activity, jumping over Lord. It is apparently non-devotional activity. So then he started massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And he was very hungry also, because he did not take prasadam. I mean, the Govinda, the servant, did not take prasadam. Prasadam was in Baranda, in the corridor. And to take prasadam, Govinda has to go out. Again he has to cross, I mean, if he wants to take prasadam, he has to go by crossing, by jumping Mahaprabhu again, second time. So Govinda did not jump, and he was inside the room, he did not take prasadam, he was just massaging. In the midnight, Mahaprabhu woke up. Govinda, how did you come inside? Mahaprabhu, I crossed over your body. Did you take your dinner? No. Why? Our dinner is outside in Baranda. How can I go? How you came inside? I came by crossing you. So go outside by crossing me. So Govinda was silent. He did not want to advertise his devotion. He was completely silent. He did not advertise his devotion that how can I cross your body. You know, he did not advertise. He was silent. But Mahaprabhu understood that actually I came inside to serve you, but how can I go outside to serve me? If I go outside, that is for my own stomach, to fulfill my hunger, that I can tolerate. For that I will not cross your body, but for serving you I can cross your body. So apparently non-devotional activity, jumping over Lord's body, apparently non-devotional activity, but because motive was service attitude. We hear so many times, service attitude. So motive was service, that's why Mahaprabhu was so pleased. So if our motive is pure, to serve the Lord, then apparent non-devotional activities also will be counted as devotional activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, you don't come to Puri every year, you preach in Bengal. So it was an order. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu not to come to visit Puri. But still, Nityananda Prabhu was coming every year to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a violation of order. But still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased because he could understand that he could not, Nityananda Prabhu could not control his love to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very pleased. Ramananda Rai, he was doing drama for pleasing Jagannath. And he was training some girls to perform nice drama, and he was himself dressing the girls. When Pradyumna Mishra went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to listen Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, you go to Ramananda Rai, because I also, when I want to listen Krishna Katha, I go to Ramananda Rai. So you please go to Ramananda Rai. He is a very good, pure devotee, and he speaks Krishna Katha very beautifully. So you go to him and you will be satisfied. So Pradyumna Mishra went to Ramananda's palace, and when he informed the servant, servant told Ramananda Rai is little busy today. So Pradyumna Mishra was waiting and waiting, and suddenly he saw that Ramananda Rai is dressing some young girls. So he was little doubtful. He is a devotee of Lord Krishna, but he is dressing young girls, touching young girls. And his respect was little disturbed. So next day he came back to Mahaprabhu and he told, I saw like this, he is touching young girls. So Mahaprabhu told, only Ramananda Rai has this right. He has got this right to touch young girls because he is completely pure. Others cannot imitate this. Others should not imitate this. You please go and listen Krishna Katha from him. So again Pradyumna Mishra went to him, and he was waiting, and when Ramananda Rai became little free, he asked Ramananda Rai that I have come to you to listen Krishna Katha. Mahaprabhu sent me to listen Krishna Katha from you. So then Ramananda Rai, he was merciful and he started to speak about Krishna. And Krishna Katha was so emotional, full of pure devotion, that after hearing Krishna Katha for hours, Pradyumna Mishra was forced to dance. He started to dance. And he was dancing, non-stop dancing. So what kind of Krishna Katha was that which forced Pradyumna Mishra to dance? So then Pradyumna Mishra understood what a great mistake I have done, that I have doubted Ramananda Rai. Anyway, this type of apparent non-devotional activities, sometimes when we read the scriptures, we find even in pure devotees, practically speaking in pure devotees, because for weak devotees this is very difficult, because weak devotees whose mind is weak, for them it is difficult. We cannot imitate Hanuman, we cannot imitate Ramananda Rai, or we cannot imitate them, because their motive was really service motive, and their motive was completely pure. Nothing is artificial. That is also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that we should not do anything artificially. Nigraha kim karishyati. We should not do anything artificially. So what is devotional life then? Because Maya is attracting us in one side, and if we follow Maya, thinking that, oh, Krishna said that we should not do anything artificially, so my natural life is Maya life, so let me enjoy Maya because it is my natural life. No, this is also prohibited. Two things. One side, that Maya will lead us to hellish life. And another side, we should not do anything artificially. So it is a dilemma that we have to lead a natural life. At the same time, we should not be attracted to Maya, because Maya will lead us to hellish planet. So the balance is that we have to convert our hellish nature into divine nature. That's all. But nothing should be unnatural. And the devotional life in sadhana stage is just this process of conversion. It is a process of conversion. How to convert our hellish nature into divine nature. That is Ravanam Kirtanam, that is chanting, association of devotees. And that is to be taken seriously. Conversion of nature, from hellish nature to divine nature. But nothing can be done artificially. Krishna says, Nigraha kim karishyati. This artificial struggle to control mind will be failure. Will be a failure. So that's why devotional life, Krishna consciousness, is the most scientific method. Because it gives us the way to convert our hellish nature into divine nature. But without this conversion, artificially devotional life cannot be practiced. It can be started, but it cannot be matured. If we don't practice devotional life, just to convert our hellish nature into divine nature. So I like to stop here because time is short. There will be darshanarati around, I think, at 8 o'clock. So if you have some questions, I think I have 10 minutes more. So if you have any question or comment, please, or correction, you are welcome.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. My question is about, like, in a place like Kolhapur, I think Lakshmi Devi is being worshipped by herself. Like in a temple, very famous temple, people go to that place. She came there specifically. There's a lila behind her. So how does one approach a temple where Lakshmi is by herself?
Yes, in different places Lakshmi is worshipped by, herself alone, single. But as we are follower of Prabhupada and we are follower of Vaishnavism, so we should not do this. At least in ISKCON we should not do this. We should always worship Lakshmi with, that is ISKCON temple, you mean?
That's a very famous temple in Kolhapur where Lakshmi...
But does it belong to ISKCON?
No, it's not ISKCON. Okay.
So, this is other, maybe other sampradaya doing like this.
Yes.
But our sampradaya should not do like this, and that is logical also. We should worship Lakshmi with Vishnu. And Radha is Adi Lakshmi. And in many temples we have Rukmini Krishna. Rukmini is actually Lakshmi. Ram Sita. Sita is Lakshmi. So, in ISKCON temple we never worship Lakshmi single. We worship Lakshmi with her husband. And Prabhupada, very clearly Prabhupada explained in this purport that we should worship Lakshmi with her husband.
Yeah, I understand that on a ISKCON level, but say one takes darshan at that temple, like one goes to Tirupati Balaji, then he's alone, then what should be one's mentality as an ISKCON person who visits such a temple? Do you understand?
In such case, we can have mentally we can think that Lakshmi is there, you know. When Lakshmi is missing, we can see Lakshmi is there. Mentally we can see Lakshmi Narayan together. What can be done? When Lakshmi is absent, I said there are seven or eight types of deity. And one deity is mental, mental deity. There's deity made up, we can make from stone, make from wood. So, deity can be made from mind also. So when you see Narayan is alone, you imagine Lakshmi with Narayan, and when you see Lakshmi alone, then we imagine Narayan, we think of Narayan, we create a mental deity of Narayan. So in this way we can have a darshan of Lakshmi and Narayan together. This is what I feel. Hare Krishna. Any other comment? Okay, stop here. Jaya Granthara Samad Bhagavatam ki Samagata Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda ki Jaya Gaur Pramanandi Hari Hari Bo.
তার মা গর্ভে ছিলেন তখন পয়াদু পয়াদু এই নারদমুনি থেকে অনেক তিনি ভগবত কথা শ্রবণ করেছিলেন, তার ফলে তিনি ভক্ত হয়েছিলেন। হরিদাস ঠাকুর জগন্নাথে জন্মগ্রহণ করলেও তিনি সাধারণ ব্যক্তি ছিলেন না, তার মধ্যে দুটো ব্যক্তি ছিলেন প্রহ্লাদ মহারাজ এবং ব্রহ্মা। এটি ভগবানের বিশেষ লীলা সম্পাদনের জন্য ভগবান অ্যাকচুয়ালি এই ব্রহ্মা এই নবদীঘা মাধ্যমে এটা বলা আছে, যখন ব্রহ্মা ভগবানের কাছে অপরাধ করেছিলেন, ভগবানের চরণে ব্রহ্মা অপরাধ করেছিলেন, তখন ব্রহ্মা যখন ভগবানকে বলছেন যে দেখুন আমি তো অপরাধ করলাম, ভবিষ্যতেও আমি আবার অপরাধ করতে পারি, তার উপায় স্বরূপ কি করা যেতে পারে, তখন ভগবান বললেন তুমি নবদ্বীপ ধামে যাও, সেখানে গিয়ে চৈতন্য মহাপুর গৌরাঙ্গের চরণে আশ্রয় গ্রহণ করো। তখন ব্রহ্মা এই নবদ্বীপে এসে তিনি এই অন্তর্দ্বীপে এই যোগপীঠেই ভগবানের গৌর ভগবানের তিনি আরাধনা করেন। যখন তিনি আরাধনা করেন তারপর চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু তাকে সম্পূর্ণ তাকে দর্শন প্রদান করেন এবং দর্শন প্রদান করেন। সেটি মহাপ্রভুর তার প্রতি নির্দেশ ছিল, তার আশীর্বাদ ছিল। তো জন্মগ্রহণটা একটি আপেক্ষিক কিন্তু বাস্তবিক গুরু রহস্য হয়েছে, তিনি মহাপ্রভুর আশীর্বাদ পূর্বজন্মেও প্রাপ্ত হয়েছেন, অর্থাৎ সেই সংস্কারের ফলে তিনি কত বড় নামাচার্যরূপে খ্যাতি লাভ করেছেন। হরে কৃষ্ণ।
Jaya Panchayat.